I'd like you to turn to Proverbs chapter 2. We're beginning a new series. We endeavor to follow a series usually every month. And whatever the topic the Lord lays on our heart, that's the topic that we follow. We just did a great series on worship. And we had a great night of worship. So we should be increasing in our worship, amen? Amen. You know, every time we teach on a subject, we ought to see it. We ought to experience it, amen? Amen. Because we're not here just to hear words, but we're here really to have an encounter with God. So, and when you encounter God, then you can help others encounter God. This is just the filling station here. You come in and you get filled so that you can take what God put in you and share it with others. So the fear of the Lord, I'm sure that people have heard about this subject. Maybe it was positive, maybe it was negative, but it doesn't matter. In Proverbs chapter 2, it says this, "My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to knowledge," or to learn, to understanding, "yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, search for her as for joy, as for hidden treasures, then shall you understand the" what? Is it possible to understand the fear of the Lord? I don't want you to get nervous because the Bible uses the word fear. But let me tell you something. When angels appeared to people, a lot of people fell down like they were dead. I mean, if we see an angel with the glory of God, 9-foot angel, appear to you just out of nowhere, you're not going to say, "Oh, hello." It's going to cause you to wonder. It's going to cause you to be in awe. Okay? Verse 6, "For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for" who? "For the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." That means he'll hold everything together. A buckler is like a belt, right? He's your shield and your buckler. You can rely on him, you can lean on him, you can rest on him. So we want to talk about the fear of the Lord today. Are you excited? I'm going to say some things about the fear of the Lord to kind of help bring a richer meaning to it. And then we're going to get into it as the weeks unfold. In August, we're going to get deeper and deeper into the fear of God. What is the fear of the Lord? Well, it is a reverential awe which leads a believer to love and obey God. The fear of the Lord will change your behavior. It'll affect the way you serve God and people. It'll change your heart. Because you're giving God reverence and honor, okay? The fear of the Lord, it is a healthy respect for the living God, and it is the foundation of faith and morality. It's the beginning of wisdom. You know, a person is not going to become wise without God. And a lot of our universities, they give an education, but they don't give revelation. An education is good, but an education with revelation is a whole lot better. So what is the fear of the Lord? It is motive for holy living. When someone truly respects God, they're going to live, they're going to pattern their life after God, after Christ, our example. It's a motive for holy living. Why don't you cuss him out? Because I fear God. I respect God. See, when you respect God, you're going to respect the people of God. You're going to respect the things of God. You're going to respect the places of God. Amen? And I don't care what person on this earth, every person is created in God's image. Come on. So the fear of God is really going to influence your relationships, how you treat people. The fear of God, it creates a right attitude and a godly lifestyle. How many know that we're supposed to live by faith? The just shall live by faith. Faith is not something you do once a week, but faith is something you are. We're supposed to live a life of faith. We're supposed to, our lifestyle should reflect and represent our faith in God. Amen. Okay? The fear of God, it frees us from other fears, worries, anxieties, and fretfulness. When you fear God, you can rest in God. You're not going to be anxious because you've developed a trust in God. You're going to, because you fear God, you can walk with Him and you know that He'll always come through. You'll know that He's faithful. You know that He doesn't change. You know that He's reliable. He's trustworthy. Amen. So having a fear of God will deliver you from other fears. Didn't the Bible say when perfect love comes in, it'll what? Cast out all fear. So if you're a person inclined to fear or to worry, this message is for you. Amen? God doesn't want us to be anxious about anything. The fear of God, it opens our eyes to see God as the ultimate reality, where you are concerned more about God's approval than others. It sets you free from being a man pleaser. You know, the Bible says there is a way that seems right to the man, but what? In the end, it leads where? To death. You realize that God is the ultimate reality, and that now you live for His approval, not someone else's approval. Because ultimately, the approval of people is temporary. Because people are eventually going to die. We're going to leave this earth. But God's approval is eternal. You know, God's word is so good that the Bible says it's forever settled in heaven. God made His word so reliable, He doesn't have to change His word. But we have to conform to His word. Amen? Are you here today? The fear of God, it causes you to act according to the dictates of wisdom, and it moves you to act righteously. It moves you to act righteously. The fear of God is evident more when no one else is around than anything else. It's what you do by yourself, who you are by yourself when no one else was around, because when no one else is around, you have no one else to impress. So what do you do when you're by yourself? Do you worship? Do you read the Bible? Do you pray? Do you do it out of duty, or do you do it because of your relationship with God? It is time for the church of God, the church of Jesus Christ, the universal church, to rise up. And if you claim the name to be Christian, then you ought to claim the lifestyle that Christ had. Because to be a Christian means to be Christ-like. That means now we are to act, to think, and to speak like Jesus did. He said in Philippians, He said, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." Did you know that you could have the mind of Christ? Well, the mind of Christ, if you really study it out, is the Holy Spirit. Because if you can let something be in you, the Holy Spirit wants to dwell in you, amen? Another sermon, another time. The fear of God is reverence due the creator of all things. A lot of times when people are exercising the fear of God, they're looking to what God created, what he did, what he made. And you're like, oh, how does the body work? They're still trying to figure it out. They know some things, but there's some things that they don't know. Where does the brain impulses come that make your body breathe, make your heart beat? It's a good thesis. Amen? The fear of God is awe before the Almighty. To be in wonder and amazement. God, doesn't it, the Bible says he's going to do signs and wonders. What's a wonder? It's something that makes you wonder. How did that happen? How did that occur? You don't know because you're wondering. To stand in awe of the Almighty. In his glory, in his majesty, in his splendor. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. And you can have a relationship with him. I stand in awe of that. The fear of the Lord is a necessary ingredient to turn from evil. When you fear God, you have a desire in your heart to do what's right because it pleases God, not because of anything else. Amen? We're going to go over these definitions again. I'll give them to you again. But let's look at what the Bible says. Go with me to Psalm 111. Psalm 111, verse 10. You know, it's important for when you're preaching just to let the Bible define itself. And you know, I want you to know that God's not nervous. When you have a question, when you don't understand something, God's not nervous. You could say to God, God, what do you mean by that? That doesn't make him nervous. The apostles did it all the time. He would teach in parables in public, and they'd be like having dinner. They'd be saying, Lord, what did you mean by that? And he would give them the meaning. Psalm 111, verse 10. Says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments, his praise endures forever. So if you want to be wise, this is the starting point. The fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. When you develop a respect for God, and all the things that are associated with God, you have a right now to become wise. Amen? Because the Bible in the New Testament describes Jesus as our wisdom. Did you know that Jesus is our wisdom? He's given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. What better, you know, if he created the world, don't you think that knowledge and wisdom would begin with him? Who else knows how to make the water not go on to the land? Who else could hang the stars in the sky? Who else could design seasons where places that seasons occur? Summer, winter, spring, fall. Who else could do that? Who else could, you know, one time, these scientists, they were challenging God. They said, God, we don't need you anymore. We have become so intelligent and so sophisticated. Our intellect can do what you did. God said, okay, well, let's have a contest. Let's have a man-making contest. And the scientist said, great. So the scientist, he went outside to get some dirt, and God said, wait a minute. Get your own dirt. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 3. You know, throughout the book of Proverbs, it talks about the fear of the Lord about 14 different times, of what it is. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to what? Did you know that you are permitted by God to hate evil? You can hate what God hates, just as long as you love what he loves. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Say, I hate evil. Notice what he defines as evil. Pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth. A froward mouth is one that is perverse. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about our mouths. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Did you know that your tongue holds in it life or death? That's Proverbs 18:21. You can look it up later. But in your tongue has the power of life and death. So think about this now. When you're speaking negative words over something or someone, you are speaking death. Is there anyone in this place that's never been affected by negative words? Tells me that words have power. But if you're speaking something positive to someone or something, then you're speaking life. And you're going to have different results. But the power of the tongue works in both ways. So we need to hate evil. We need to hate pride. Hate it. Detest it. Abhor it. The Bible says, abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Go to Psalms 19. Psalms 19. Look at verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean. The fear of the Lord is the best, cleanest fuel to operate your life on. This is the true clean energy. What are you running on? I'm running on the fear of the Lord. Notice it's clean and enduring forever. So God doesn't want you just to do the fear of the Lord one time. He wants you to do it and not stop doing it. Not stop respecting God. Not stop being in awe of God. Not stop being amazed by God. You know, sometimes we just need to sing that song, I'm so amazed by you. Because God is really amazing. How he came from heaven. He became a man. That's amazing in itself. And God walked this earth. He felt what you feel. He was tempted with what you're tempted by. He knows everything. But yet he did it without sin. He said no to sin. And when you have his nature, you can say no to sin too. The judgments of the Lord are what? True. Part of the fear of the Lord is being tied in with his commands and his judgments and his statutes. The righteous and righteous altogether, more to be desired are they than what? You know, a relationship with God is more valuable than the finest gold. Amen. This Bible has more value than every bank on this planet. Because this Bible is eternal. Yea, than fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Say, God's word is sweet. If you have a sweet tooth, you can eat God's word and never give a cavity. Amen? Because it's sweeter than honey. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. You know, we have to realize that there are two sides to God. There is the righteousness to God, but there's also the judgment of God. And the judgment of God is very real. And God always shows his mercy before his judgment. If you look at any place that was judged by God to be destroyed, God always showed mercy. Sodom and Gomorrah. Their mercy was Abraham interceding. If there were 10 righteous, there weren't even 10 righteous in the city. Can you imagine a city with less than 10 righteous people in it? Nineveh. Nineveh was set to be destroyed, but God sent Jonah to go to Nineveh to warn them. And because they heeded the warning, they repented, and the city found grace and mercy. They didn't get destroyed because they heeded the warning. How many times do we not heed the warning? When God's word warns us of the dangers, we say, you know, because sometimes sin, we don't receive the consequences of sin right away. And we think, God will overlook that. Really? Really? No, he won't. Let me tell you a story about Aaron, the brother of Moses. Aaron was chosen to be a priest of God. And it was Aaron who made the golden calf. Moses was gone for 40 days. 10 days past a month, and they couldn't wait 40 days, and they were making an idol. And there was a time when Aaron and Miriam came against Moses. And when you come against God's established authority, you know, the Bible says, don't touch my anointed. Pray for them. Pray for God's anointed. Amen? Well, because Miriam wasn't in a position that God called her to, she became leprous for 7 days. Now, Aaron didn't experience the consequences of his sin right at that moment. It wasn't until the mantle of the priest was taken off him and placed on his son, then the judgment of God came. You read it, study it. It wasn't until the mantle of the priest was removed from Aaron that the judgment came on him for what he did against Moses. And soon as the mantle was taken off of him, he died quickly. I can see the expression on your face. You say, well, I'm living right. I'm getting my life right. That's what the fear of the Lord is about. It's about us giving an opportunity, having an opportunity to make things right. Amen? The fear of the Lord is really about God's grace. It's really about his giving us the opportunity to overcome our sin. Amen? I like to call this the softer side of fear. Go with me to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. See, I'm not talking about the fear of God to scare you. I'm talking about the fear of God to encourage you, to build you up. Amen? Because quite frankly, there's a lot of things that the Bible says that believers don't do. Because we have this attitude and this mentality that the commandments of God include options. There aren't any stock options in the Word of God. What God says, we must do. We are obligated to obey God no matter what. That's right. Come on. Amen. I'm preaching good. Our country has gotten away from obeying God. They've allowed options to come in. You know? Marriage is between a man and a woman, period. And how could we let that value be so diminished as it is today? Here's the softer side of the fear of God. Where's my place here? Look at verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, you know why they were called Sadducees? They didn't believe in the resurrection, so therefore they were sad, you see. They were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, "Master, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" You know, there were a lot of commandments that God gave to Moses. Jesus said unto him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Where do you see any options in that? What does the Lord require from you? Come on. What kind of love? Part of your love? With all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Your spirit, your soul, and your body should love the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is the first and greatest commandment. Notice the first. The first commandment is to love God. And that's what the fear of God is all about. It's about loving more than anything else, more than anyone else. We ought to love God more than our families. Because there are times when God will call you away from your family to do something. But if you love your family too much, you won't go. Come on. There's been a lot of people that have a lot of opportunities to serve God. I can't because of this or that. Jesus even said, if you love father, sister, brother more than me, that's not acceptable. The second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, how easy is it going to be to love your neighbor if you don't love God? First, you've got to fall in love with Jesus. You've got to fall in love with the Holy Spirit. You've got to fall in love with your Father God. You've got to fall in love with the Word because the Word is Jesus. Secondly, when you're loving God, God puts His love in you for people. He literally gives you the love that He has for people that compelled Him to send His only begotten Son into the world. So the fear of God, if you fear God today, then you love God today. That's the softer side of fear, is love. It's the kind of love that you've got to love God with everything about you. You've got to love God with your money. Come on. Where your money is where? Where your treasure is where your heart is. So guess what? If you don't ever invest in the kingdom of God, your heart's not in the kingdom of God. That's all I'm going to say about that. Go with me to John chapter 14. John 14. These aren't in my notes because the Holy Spirit showed them to me after I made my notes. John 14. Verse 15. We're talking about the softer side of the fear of the Lord, which is love. You know, did you know that most of your problems will be solved if you just fall in love with Jesus? Come on. I'm serious. You know, before we counsel someone, I think we just need to, we're going to do this next time. Next time someone comes for us for counseling, we're going to pray in the Holy Ghost for half an hour before we ever start counseling. Notice, if you love me, what? See, it's very easy for us to say, oh, I love you. But then what do your actions say? If your words are saying, I love you, but your actions are saying, I don't, guess what? Your words don't mean anything. Jesus said, if you love me, what? The proof of your love for God is keeping his commandments. Okay? And when you love him and keep his commandments, verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. That's a benefit of being in love with Jesus. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Okay? Let's go down to verse 20. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments and what? See, notice there's a difference between having God's commandments and keeping them. Do you realize everybody that possesses a Bible has God's commandments? But how many people who possess a Bible are actually doing what the Bible says? I'm talking about the fear of God. Because it's a motive for holy living. It's a motive for doing what's right. It's a reverence of God. It's a respect, a deep reverence, a deep devotion to God. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. He that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Oh my goodness, when you're walking in the fear of God and you're loving God with all your heart and all your soul, Jesus, the presence of God is going to manifest itself in your life. You're going to have the favor of God where you're going to go. Goodness and mercy are going to follow you all the days of your life. You're going to be blessed. You're going to come out of trouble when others sink under trouble. You're going to come through because, and people aren't going to know how you made it because you love God. There was a time when the Apostle Paul, he was on a ship. He was supposed to go to Rome. He told the people, he said, I don't think we ought to make this journey. He said, we shouldn't make this journey. They said, Paul, who are you? They went ahead and made the journey. And what happened? They ran into a nor'easter. This huge, massive, violent storm. But I want to show you what the love of God does. Paul was a man who feared God. Because he stopped killing people, he stopped murdering people, and he started preaching. That tells me he feared God. Amen. He realized that killing and murdering isn't such a good thing. I'm going to serve God and how he wants me to serve him. That's the fear of God. The fear of God will cause you to change. And an angel appeared to him. Because when you love God and he loves you, he's going to manifest himself to you. That manifestation might mean an angel appearing to you. It might mean you're seeing his glory. However God manifests himself. And there was Paul in the midst of this violent storm, and an angel appeared to him. He was like this. An angel appeared right beside him because he feared God and he loves God and God loves him. And so God will manifest himself to him. And he said, Paul, the ship is going to be lost, but not one person on this ship is going to be lost. There was like over 200 people on that ship. He had a word from God that said, yeah, the ship is going to be lost, but not one life is going to be lost. That's the fear of God. Not only did it protect Paul, it protected everyone else on the ship. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? We know the story. Nebuchadnezzar, he builds a golden statue of himself. He thought he was so great, and he wanted people to worship this statue of me. I want you to worship me. That was Nebuchadnezzar. Now, is it right to worship idols? Is it right to worship men? Everybody in the kingdom of Babylon was bowing down, worshiping a dumb idol that can't speak, can't walk, can't talk, can't do anything, but just sit there. Except I need three volunteers. I need three volunteers to stand up right now. Okay. All right, good. You can sit down, Miss Julie. All right. Everybody else was sitting down, bowing to the statue except for three. And the king looks out. He was angry Because no one disobeys the king's order. Okay, guys, wait a minute now. Maybe you didn't understand what I'm saying. When the music plays, I want you to bow. And they said, O king, O majesty, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. I don't care if you throw us into the fire. I don't care if you turn it up seven times. We are not going to bow. Well, the king was furious. Punishment for not bowing to a statue was to be thrown into a fire. Okay, you guys can sit down. Thank you for your help. You guys, it's okay to sit down. When they were in the midst of the fire, because they feared God, because they loved God, he manifested himself. Where did God show up? It was in the fire. It was at their darkest, worst moment. Because they loved God, they took a stand for God, God was going to take a stand for them. And he showed up in the fire. And they were like jamming in the fire. Then the king looks in, because he sat above. He said, didn't we throw in three? But I see a fourth man. He's like the Son of God. And they're dancing in the fire. And the flames went out. They brought them out of the furnace. And they didn't even smell like smoke. I'm telling you, when you love God and he loves you, his presence will manifest himself to you. He'll be there when you need him the most. He'll be there in your darkest hour. But his presence will come upon you to get you through whatever you're facing. But it's all about having the fear of God. If you don't have the fear of God, if you don't respect God, and you do that through your actions, your words and your actions agreeing together say you love God. Come on. Listen. Are we going to be like Christ or not? Christ came to die. Are you willing to die for him? Yes, I am, because for me, death has no sting. For me, when I die and leave this body, I'm going to leave my body. I'm going to go, well, that was easy. I'm going to step out of my body, and I'm going to be in the presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If I could pick to do anything else in life, I wouldn't do anything else in life, because God told me to do what I'm doing right now. Amen. Well, what if you get another offer? Doesn't matter. I fear God, and I'm going to do what he tells me to do, where he tells me to do it, how he tells me to do it. Come on. Amen. Did you know that oftentimes God will ask you to do things, and he won't ask you if you agree or not. You know, he didn't appear to Moses. He didn't say, Moses, how do you feel about going back into Egypt? He didn't ask that. He said, Moses, I've heard the cry of my people. I want you to go and deliver my people. He didn't ask how Moses felt about it. He didn't ask what he thought about it. He didn't even ask what his opinion was. When God gives you a command, it's just that. It is a command of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It has eternal value. And your obedience to that command will really show him how much you love him. Because love is the softer side of fear. Go to John 15. Verse 10. Everyone that lived when Jesus walked this earth, they knew one thing about Jesus. Everything he said happened, and everything he said came to pass. When Jesus walked this earth, he did not lie. That's why he had so much power to raise the dead and to heal the sick and the blind and open blind eyes. It was because of his pure relationship that he had with God, really. John 15:10, if you keep my commandments. Notice, I want you to notice that phrase, if you keep. Whose responsibility is it to keep his commands? Ours, mine. It's my responsibility. You mean I can't keep the Lord's commandments for Caleb? No, because I'm not Caleb. I can only keep the commandments for Doug because I'm Doug. But it's my responsibility to keep the commandments of God. So let me just tell you this. If God commands you to do something and you don't do it, then he's not obligated to bless you. Because God's blessing is based on our obedience, period. Come on. Don't worry, we'll pass out Band-Aids later. We have a medical technician here. He'll patch you up. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide, John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So we're supposed to follow the same standard as Jesus. God expects nothing less. Was Jesus a giver? What did he give? He gave his life. He gave everything. Should we be a giver? Was Jesus a forgiver? Should we be a forgiver? Did Jesus extend people mercy? Should we extend people mercy? Was he compassionate to people? Should we be compassionate to people? Did he put up with religious junk? Then we shouldn't do it either. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. So when we're not keeping God's commands, we lose his joy. Because we get joy from his commandments, not from the world. That your joy might be full. In order for your joy to be full, you're going to have his joy in you. His joy in you makes you joyful. Come on. This is my commandment. Notice he didn't ask us how we felt. He didn't ask us what our opinion. He said, this is my commandment. That you love one another. How? As I have loved you. Are we loving people like he loves us? Or do we fall short? If we fall short, we can ask God for forgiveness and he'll forgive us. Amen? All right, I'm going to close with this. Go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Listen, God is calling us. We're living in a day and hour when God is going to require more of us. Say this with me. Say, God is requiring more of me. He's going to need you to worship more. He's going to need you to pray more. He's going to need you to study more. He's going to need you to give more. Anybody that farms, what's the most expensive time of farming? Planting or harvesting? Planting or harvesting? I'd say harvesting, because you only have a certain amount of time to get what you can plant it, but with the weather and stuff, you only got a certain amount of time, and you got to bring in the big machines, right? For harvest, God's getting ready to do a harvest in the earth. Amen? He's looking for barns like this VCF barn where he can store his grain. His people are his grain, and he wants this threshing floor full. Amen? But it's going to involve us telling other people about what God's done for us. Psalm 34, and then I'm closing. I will bless the Lord when I feel like it. It didn't say that? But how come we act like that so many times? Well, I don't feel like going to church today. Huh. I will bless the Lord at all times, okay? His praise shall be in my mouth sometimes. No, it didn't say that either. His praise shall be in my mouth how? continually. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. That means you magnify God. You're always talking about how good God is, how great God is, how awesome God is. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. Say that. Say, he delivered me from all my fears. Say, I'm free from fear. Oh, isn't it good to be free from fear? They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord said, heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. How many want the angel of the Lord around you? Amen. You know, one time an angel of the Lord took out 180,000 men. Come on, angel, be by my side. But who's the angel of the Lord around? Those that fear him, reverence him, respect him, honor him, obey him, do what he says, love him, walk with him. Come on. All these have to relate to the fear of God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Let me tell you, I tasted the Lord when I was 12 years old, and I found out that he was good, and I'm still with him today. Amen. Now it's 31 years, because I'm 43 now. But do you realize I've been preaching at this church for 10 years? I started preaching here when I was 33. And I'm still going strong, amen? Amen. I haven't run out of material yet. Praise God. Someone's thinking, oh, I wish you'd get out of the material soon. Don't worry, I only go as long as your seat can endure, amen? Blessed are the short-winded, they shall be invited back. I guess I must have been short-winded one time because they invited me back. But, you know, the Lord is just so good. I have a lot to say. Amen. Fear the Lord, you his saints. You know, you're a saint now, not when you die. You become a saint when you put your trust in Jesus. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no what? There's no want to those that fear him. Why? Because I trust in a good shepherd and I shall not want. Why? Because he provides for me well. He takes care of me. I'm God's child. You're a child of the king. You're a prince and a princess in God's kingdom. Amen. Say, I have no want. I have no want. Because I fear God. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord. See, someone who fears God is one who seeks him. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. He takes care of your needs and your wants and your desires. If you delight yourself in him, he'll give you the desires. But you got to delight yourself in him first. We want God to meet our desires without us delighting in him. That's not going to happen. God requires your life. If you're not willing to come and lay down your life for him like he laid down his life for us, then quite frankly, he's not obligated to bless you like he would really want to. He wants to bless you. He wants to do things for you, but we limit him from working in our life. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Well, I don't know that. I don't know how to fear the Lord. I don't know how to do this thing. Don't worry. I'll teach you. I'll show you. I'll explain it to you. I'll inspire you. I'll teach you to do it. We have no excuse for not fearing God. What man is he that desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, that's the fear of the Lord. And do good, it's motive for holy living, that's the fear of the Lord. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them who what? Who do evil. Because they don't fear God. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears them and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to them that are of a broken heart and saves such as a contrite spirit. If your heart has been broken, God's near to you. He can repair the brokenness. All right? The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in the Lord shall be desolate. I've talked enough. Now it's time for us to fear God. Amen? If you're here today and you're not walking with the Lord, what I mean by that is you are not practicing his commandments. Okay? You're not doing what he said to do. I'm going to tell you this. You need to repent. You need to ask God for forgiveness, and you need to change your ways.